Are we going to do an intro?
Yeah.
Or are we already doing the intro?
It's possible.
We are so complex, so meta.
Meta. Well, you know, this is like our test show anyways, right? We got to get back in the swing.
Yeah.
We've done, what, like two or three shows in the last 5 months or something crazy. So, you know, we got to have a pre-show.
This is it. This is the preamble. This is what people get to hear before I officially say, hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 117.
Oh, wow.
Of Crosshairs Radio. With me today for this, they don't do that in Europe, cross is coming, and now it's, what was it, David?
Oh, cross is coming, season is coming, is over. Hashtag.
David Palin is with me. Hey, David.
Hey, Bill. It is so good to be speaking with you, not just following you all around the interwebs in your crazy adventures.
Yeah. No, it's nice to be home for a day. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. And the funny thing is the only person who's on my screen is David. Scott's not even up here.
Ooh, Scotty D.
David and Katarina Nash are the only two people on my screen, too.
I know. How does that happen?
Is Katarina with us?
What happens if I hit the plus two? Nope. Still just his picture.
David initiated the call, I guess. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on the other side of your headphones is, no, they're all going to be right there in the middle so it doesn't confuse you all. It's Scott Diedenbach. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bill. What's going on? So exciting. Ready for another edition of TDDTIE?
I am. I'm ready for cross, too.
I am
still excited about the mountain bike season, going to the next World Cup. We're driving up to Canada, Mount St.
Is that
Anne
where you're
tomorrow?
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
But man, it's percolating. It's starting.
Oh, there's the segue. Because I was going to say you sounded kind of juiced up, but now I was wondering why you're so amped. But now I see it. I hear it.
You guys are talking coffee.
Yeah, we are talking about coffee. Did you know that that the coffee, there is, we can make up a kind of a tangential cyclocross tie-in to the Wide Angle Podium Grimper Brothers coffee in that it's the full Schleck. And where are the Schlecks from?
Luxembourg.
Luxembourg, home of.
Oh, Luxembourg, of course.
Yeah.
Home of
cyclocross world championship.
Oh, got you. Yes.
It was the green tire. The green tire world championship.
That's right. That's right. What a great one.
Yeah.
What a classic.
It was a classic.
It was a classic, really.
But what we're talking about is that the Wide Angle Podium, the podcast network that Crosshairs Radio is on, also Bike Shop CX is on as well. We are able to offer you this amazing coffee from our partners at Grimper Brothers. It's called the Full Schleck. That is something that the slow ride.
I love that sigh that you have to put out when you even talk the slow ride. You can't say slow ride without a sigh.
It's a heavy sigh. Pause at the beginning.
I don't mean to do it either. It's just a reaction. It's just a reaction.
Because you have to. It's true.
I still listen. I love the show, but it doesn't mean it's not. You know, it is. I think you could rate that show. They like to ask for their 5-star reviews. I think you could do a 5-star review on that show. Go to iTunes. You can rate Crosshairs Radio too. That'd be awesome in Bike Shop CX. But go leave the Slow Ride Podcast 5 stars.
Yes.
And then go to Wide
and
Angle
And then put
podium.
A message. Tell them that we told you to do it. Blame it on us.
I can't wait for them to read a review on their show that says, Bill, David, and Scott told me to give you 5 sides.
Little guy is the only person that listens to our show, too. So they'll never know.
So, I'm sure they'll be thrilled to have a 5-star review regardless. this is, we're still talking about coffee. And
coffee.
Yeah. And if you click, so you go to wideanglepodium.com, you go over to the right-hand column, there's an ad there for our coffee, our partnership with Grimper Brothers. You click on there, it'll take you to the Grimper Brothers site, and then you can read all about the full Schleck coffee. Last show I did that I posted up here, the one with Matthew Vanderpool, I talked about how it's a light roast, and I'm going to talk about that again because that's my favorite kind of coffee. They nailed this. It's got a nice fruity taste to it. It's got a little bit of sourness almost that I really love. And I went through this. This was the coffee that I drank every day on vacation and absolutely loved it. And I'm about to hit the add to cart button and buy myself another pound.
Those are called notes, Bill.
Notes, thank Fruit you.
Fruity notes and chocolate notes. I do.
What
taste,
about its
I,
nose? Is there a nose to it too?
I can never taste all those, but this is the first time I've ever actually bought a coffee where I actually kind of the little taste you get afterwards is that chocolate. So
those are called notes. I always refer to them as aftertaste.
And
I guess that's a bad thing, right? If
so
it's
speaking,
just an aftertaste. Go ahead. Sorry.
Speaking of the full Schleck, David, do you want to tell people on this show about the contest we're doing?
I do indeed, because we talked with Dan down there in Texas with Grimper Brothers, and he was good enough to allow our viewers and now our collective viewers here with the TDD TIE edition to enter a contest for a free bag of Grimper Brothers coffee. And to do that...
Well, a free bag of the full Schleck.
The full Schleck. Well, right. Do they make others too?
Well, I just don't want people
do.
To think they can pick whatever they want. They're getting this.
This is
the
show about rules. So, of course, Scotty D's got to get all over me about rules.
So, go ahead.
Okay. So, it's an Instagram contest, as many of ours are. You got to tag Mr. David Palin. You got to tag at BikeShopCX. And you have to tag at Grimper Brothers and follow at Grimper Brothers. It may not be a bad idea to follow Bike Shop CX and follow at Mr. David Palin. And you need to put up a picture of what the full Schleck means to you.
Oh, God.
Include the hashtag the full Schleck. That's hashtag TheFullSchleck. And we've had some really, really good ones.
And I was just going to say,
how many do you think have been flagged by Instagram so far?
As inappropriate material?
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking none. Actually, there's been some really cool pictures out there.
Yeah.
There has. But there's still only a few, so we need more. So people, you know, your chances of winning are still really good. We have gotten a few really good ones in the last couple days, but we still only have a few, so you have a really good chance of winning this. Get out, be creative, and you can win yourself a pound bag of the full Schleck, man.
And nothing brings
right
a smile
now.
To your face
I'm
like
looking.
The full Schleck.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. Yeah, I'm seeing. You know, so what's the hashtag again? Tell me again. Is it just full Schleck? Because that's I'm getting
no. It's got to be the full Schleck.
The
and there's some out
Schleck.
There that are,
okay.
that are falling down on the hashtag.
Glad that you clarified that because that was
because that's the name of the coffee. That's the coffee official coffee
all right.
name. So.
I got it. Okay, clicking on go. The full. Oh, there we go. We got a Jingle Cross.
the mug,
AeroPress,
mug.
And the first yep. one here.
Yeah.
Got an impressive beard there.
Dr.
That
Tracy
Texas
Berman
tut.
With her lab coat.
Oh, I yeah. see that. That is nicely done. A little dress shirt action here. That's a yeah. that's a scary.
He's out on an interview.
So, anyways, be creative,
nice.
Guys.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna enter. Can I enter, or am I as an employee of the?
You can enter, but you won't win.
Okay. That's fair.
You should enter. I kicked it off by putting up a picture. That's kind of what gave me the impetus to get in touch with Dan. Go ahead. We'd love to see you doing the full Schleck.
I will.
What you as best you can. I mean,
my interpretation.
It's a family show. It's a family show. Just remember. That's all we ask you to remember.
Yeah, and if you go to GrimperBrothers.com, where the full Schleck is amongst all of their... David, you asked if they have any other coffees. They have a slew of other coffees. And in fact, since Cross is coming season is now... What is it again?
Cross is coming season
is coming
is over.
Got it. They have a Cross is Coming coffee available.
They do.
That you can get. They got the full schleck there.
Is that the single origin coffee? I know they had a couple of single origin coffees that I'm imagining are going to be really good.
It is a single origin coffee. Mm. Yeah. And what they do also, they have a subscription service, so you can get your coffee without even thinking about it, which is good. For me, for instance, I had to run out and get coffee this morning because we ran out, and that wouldn't happen if I once I get in here and subscribe to the full schleck.
And people should think about it as much as making a donation to the Wide Angle Podium as buying coffee, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're definitely helping us out. So it's awesome that you do that. You probably drink coffee anyway, so there you go.
Yeah. Right. And as much as we want, and we do want you to get the full schleck because it helps out the Wide Angle Podium and therefore helps us. Look at their other offerings too. They support, we talk about this all the time on both our shows. They support the people who support our sport, right?
Exactly. Exactly. The Amy D coffee is one of the
Amy
best coffees
I've ever had. Yeah. They've got a coffee for Helen, I think, right now. Cross is coming. Yeah. And go out there and support the people that support our sport.
Awesome. There
you
go.
All right. Before we get into the meat of the show, this is it. This is it. This is, you know,
we're rolling,
so there's,
man.
There's nothing to even fast forward to because right. This is it. This is what you've tuned in for. But there is, you know, talking of cyclocross and how's I'm going to get this. Wait, let me do it. Cross is coming. Season is over.
No. Cross is coming. Season is coming.
Oh,
he's over.
It's over.
Oh, cross is coming. Season is coming is over because now cross is coming. Season is now.
Exactly.
Right. You got it.
You got it, man.
Yeah. There is a. here's how the, you know, we've talked about the calendar a lot. And I think we had a TDDTIE. I think Scott, you and I may have come back and even done another one just on the calendar. It's already. Unfortunately, it's changing a little already in that we were all looking forward to this new race that was going to take place in Toronto. Right now, for 2018, it looks like that's not happening. Hopefully, they'll be able to come back for 2019. What that means, though, is that was a shared date. It was Toronto, which was a new race, and then also another first-year UCI race in Roanoke, Virginia, which is GoCross. They were on the same date. Now just GoCross. Now GoCross has that date to themselves down there in Roanoke, Virginia. They are a race that is a partnership, a sponsorship partnership of Deschutes Brewery, and then also just the Roanoke, actually the city, you know, I mean, the Roanoke community is really involved in this and really excited to get people to come out there. Last year for the race, women raced for free.
Nice.
Wow.
I believe they're having a program similar to that this year, which is pretty fantastic. They have a lot of support. They have an amazing venue, and it's right near an airport. So UCI race, if you are a UCI racer, it's something that is really easy to get to. It's an early season calendar event. It's before these World Cups happening. So great warm-up race for those who are going to be going to the World Cup, and a great warm-up race just for anybody in the amateur racing scene. What a great place to start. You can go challenge yourself on a hilly course in Western, not West Virginia, but Western Virginia, and then also watch the best of the best race at the end of the day. I want everybody to go to gocrossrace.com. All together, gocrossrace.com. Go sign up for a race. Come down there. I'll be out there all weekend long covering the race, and I would love to see as many of you down there as possible.
Bill, how many times do we talk about if we could only get a community to support a race and we have to kind of go in and then apologize and promise we'll clean up after ourselves, and then the tree commission comes in and gets angry. Here you have a race that's being supported by the community.
From
ready
the get-go.
To go.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And now what we need to do as a cross family is support that race. Go
For
out
sure.
there and go cross.
Yeah, there's the Roanoke Outside Foundation. In fact, that's who is supporting this race. They are the promoters of this race. You know, the goal is to get people to Roanoke. You know, it's the kind of thing that we see in Louisville as well. You know, it's these communities have figured out this is a great way to get people to come to the community to see it and maybe then return there for vacation or whatever else. If they have a business, maybe, you know, have their convention there, whatever. You know, it's just a way to get people into town. The great example of that was Asheville. You know, my family and I, we went to Asheville this year for vacation. Only reason it was on our brain was because we were there for Nationals and had such a great time.
Yeah. That's great, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
And so, even, you know, it doesn't even have to be that much of an investment into the future, which it is. But, you know, if you look at how much... Sure, we're not bringing in as big as the big pipe fitters union convention or whatever, but we're bringing in people to these cities and to these communities that are paying for hotels or paying for food or paying for beer. And we support the local community. Gas. Yeah.
Yep. And you have, you know, Deschutes Brewery. This is their East Coast location. So that's also for the beer drinkers out there and aficionados. That's another great, great pool for this race. And so there
so
you go.
All this eyes is, are I'm, on GoCross,
I'm looking,
man.
I'm looking at registration right now. I know I mentioned about it. I just want to make sure this was true. Looking on BikeReg, BikeReg.com, GoCross. Women 35 plus both days. Registration fee, $0.
Nice.
Women, 1, 2, 3. Registration fee, $0. UCI women. Registration fee, $0.
Wow. That's
so women
awesome.
Race pretty cheap there.
Yeah. Those should be sold out fields. Let's make that happen.
Can you really call them sold out, though, if it's free?
Yes.
They should be I'm just full wondering. Fields.
Yeah.
There we go. So wait, speaking of Scott.
So you're the pedantic and Scott's the rules? I got to get everybody straight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So speaking of schedule a little bit there, Bill, you and I had a discussion the other day. We got a whole like Reno Trek jingle thing planned, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome. So if people are at any of those races, come and say hi. I will have the van at the two World Cups. So with its new wrap. And people come and check us out and say hi and, you know.
Did you know that Scotty D's a rapper? That's his rapper name, actually, is Scotty D.
I'm going to find out more. David, here's the interesting part, David, that Scott and I talked about. I don't know, Scott, if he's ready for me to actually publicly say this, but this is what we have planned. We're going to road trip together from Trek to Jingle.
Imagine that.
Oh, Bill. Oh, Bill. We'll have discussions after that. He seems like a happy guy when you talk to him on the Skypes, but you're in for a treat, man. You're in for a treat.
I think we're gonna have to we'll try to keep we'll try to document this as best as possible.
Yeah, we'll do some audio stuff.
Oh, come on,
sure.
Scotty D. Don't even say it.
What?
We had the thing running. We went up to coast with Amanda Nauman, and we're going to, this time we will record and we'll do all kinds of stuff. We'll have some great background stuff. And
I'm already going to tell you the difference between that and this.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
The difference is Bill will sit there with the recorder and actually
he'll
record
do the work.
Stuff.
That's right. He'll do the work.
It won't be my responsibility along with driving and navigating. And then it will actually
wait
happen.
A minute. Let's talk
was,
about if navigating.
This, if
this Let's
was
talk about navigating.
Recorded,
this is how this is how the trip
like
goes,
hours
man.
Of it.
This is how the trip goes. This is what you're in for. Let's talk about navigating, Scotty D. Where's Big Bend Campground? When the sign says, don't come down this road to go to Big Bend Campground, how
so
far down
I
that
go?
Road do you go?
Well, yeah, you got to see what it's about, man.
No, maybe this is the secret shortcut that they don't want everybody to know.
Right. Oh, what a blast that was.
I can't wait to talk
fun.
To you about this afterwards. Oh, Bill.
So, and if people like find us at Trek and they want me to customize their t-shirt, I will have a special bottle of Orange Seal that I can dump on it just right there. Just bring it and I'll dump it on it for them.
I still may have like two or limited three of those selection. Left. I should bring them back and we should up price them now because they're aged.
Well, just tell the Midwest Devo people. They'll buy all of them. They'll buy you out. Midwest Devo wants all those. So there you go. Maybe we, awesome. They, maybe Midwest Devo should make their own t-shirt and then bring the box to me and I can customize them all.
Yeah.
Customize.
You're gonna be, it's going to be like the new tie-dye.
That should be it their is. Kit. Yeah. Their kit should be a spilled.
For those who don't understand, I left a box of Svenja's shirts with Scott last year in his care.
You're being generous because it was you were getting requests for Svenja's shirts for like months, right? And you were sold out, and it was like that everybody was on the edge of their seat waiting for this 100 brand new, the only 100 Svenja's shirts in existence that people could buy again. Yes. And you entrusted them into my care.
Mistake.
And what happened?
Well, Scott decided that instead of in this beautiful tent that he had set up to do all this maintenance work for Drew Dillman, and since Scott can't say no to anybody, probably 10 other people racing that weekend, he decided to start fooling with the tubulars with the sealant in it inside the van, right on top of or above the where my shirts were. And you know what happened, Scott?
That I squeezed. I looked in the bottle, and then for some reason, like squeezed it as hard as I could, and it like erupted, and like erupted. The entire inside of the van was covered in Orange Seal sealant.
I have a proponent of gun control when it comes to Scotty D.
Including
the guy looking down the barrel of the gun saying, is this thing loaded? How do you know?
Including the 10 shirts that were on top of the box of brand new Svenja's.
But here's
shirts.
The thing. I put it out there that these were customized by you, and people ate it up. People, you know?
Yeah. Special Christmas gifts for the Devo team.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and that stuff doesn't... I can... Here's my similar story at Mountain Bike Nationals in Bear Creek, Pennsylvania, 2012. I was hired to take photos. I was a photographer for USA Cycling for that race. And I was like, oh, it'll be easier to get around. I'll just bring my mountain bike with me. And then once I got up there and saw, you know, it's an East Coast Rocks course and it's, you know, on a mountainside. And I was like, I'll be quicker just on my feet. So I left my mountain bike in my car, in my Subaru Outback in 2012 in the back. And it was like 100 degrees outside, you know, so plus whatever inside the car. I got back after the first day of working, went to my car, and like the whole inside of my car, all of the glass surfaces were just coated with stands because it was so hot that the tire had blown off the rim. When I sold
cutting edge, man, you had stands back then.
Yeah, well, and when I sold my car, that Subaru, or actually donated it because it was so trash that no one would buy it, just this past year, 2018, it still had the stands on the windows in the back.
Well, by that time, it would have taken a chisel. Man.
Yeah, but, you know, that stuff's durable. It,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It holds up.
I love stands. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, man.
All right.
Are we done? Are we done with the intro to the show 25 minutes later?
Yeah, I think I was going to say we're 25 minutes in. Should we start talking about what we were going to talk about? And as always, before we start, Scott's like, I don't know, do we have an hour?
Yeah.
Stuff to talk about?
We haven't even started. All right. Well, let's kick it off with the rules. Ready?
Yeah. So, interestingly, this I understand it because it's not something that the in the UCI's view, I don't think it necessarily is something that they're like, oh my gosh, we have to have a press release because we have these new rule changes. They're just sort of going about their business and doing these things.
Right. It's part of their normal
that's
routine.
So UCI.
Yeah. And they do it every year. So it's like, if you want to know where the rules are, you look at the rules and then at some point they're going to change. That actually happened in June, at the end of June. That they published their new rules since that time. Now I sort of have an in with some UCI team managers, and they were like, oh, well, we could have just sent that to you when it came out. I was like, yeah, in the future, if you just give me a heads up and do that, that'd be awesome. So now I got that going for me. But this happened, and none of us really knew until friend of the podcast, Jens Decker, was going through there trying to, you know, just being a good professional and preparing for the season, looking at the rules, seeing if there's anything new changes that he needed to be aware of. And he actually tagged me in an Instagram post because he saw one of the rules. He's like, oh, well, CXRs will be excited about this. And it's a rule we'll get to that there are in UCI races, podium bikes have now been banned.
Mm.
And he posted that, and I was like, there are new rules? And then I was like scurrying back, and I was like texting with him. I was like, he was like, yeah, they're here. And I was like, oh, sweet. So then I went back and posted,
like, what?
Posted this up here. And the thing that made me feel better is after I posted this and it got a ton of traffic on is nobody else knew either.
Right.
So it was
right.
Well, people
so
wait
was
for us.
Still,
people
I was still able
us.
To break the news and sort of scoop the cyclocross media on something that came out in June. But
so
yeah.
For clarification's sake, this is the June 26, 2018 update of the rules. And if you go to the UCI website and you go to the rules section and you go under cyclocross, part five is cyclocross, you can see version 26.06.2018, and that's what we're gonna be referencing.
What's the number again, so, Scotty D?
What's that? 26.06.2018.
okay.
And the nice thing that they do from year to year, and it's actually kind of fun to go back each if you keep these like I do, and you go back to the previous years, all of the changes are in red.
Yeah.
So then the next year it all turns black, and then the new stuff's in red. It's sort of interesting. You can see the whole history of some of these rules being built, and a lot of it is because of us meddling North Americans who like to actually have specificity and explanation to our rules instead of just like, here's this ambiguous, vague rule. We're going to leave ourselves a little wiggle room to try to figure it out. And I think what we'll find going through there is that we may see some further refinements in years to come to what has been
published. There'll be a lot more
year.
Red coming. There'll be a lot more red coming.
Yeah.
And this is we should be happy about, because that's the impetus of our show. They don't do that in Europe, right? I mean, really,
exactly.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
So,
all right. So go ahead. The first rule is 5.1.023, and that is the new artificial obstacles rule.
Oh,
so that's the first one on the new.
You skipped over the most important one for our demographic.
Oh, which
man.
One is that? What did I skip?
Masters eligibility.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
I mean, what would the former pride of Michigan cyclocross be thinking now?
Bill, do the Masters. So that is 5.1.001 right at the top.
Yeah.
I just kind of zipped
where
right over
Masters
that.
Information should be the first item.
The first most important thing in all of cyclocross.
Because we get distracted.
Yeah. So the change here, this is one of these things that has changed over years, and it's something that I think all of us in North America had become aware of when the world's championship came to Louisville.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
And then a lot of Americans were like, "Oh, I'm going to Worlds," who were Masters racers. And at that time, there was a clear-cut rule: if you had a single UCI point, you were ineligible for Masters Worlds.
Right.
No gray area. Either you get that one point.
It is binary.
Out.
One or a zero. Right. Yeah.
To the point that I have video of a person that we all know, who I will not name, in that year of 2013 at a C2 race somewhere in these great United States. Waiting 10 meters before the finish line.
Yeah. to avoid getting
a point. When he could have crossed in 10th place and therefore earned a UCI point, instead he sat there vigorously asking the officials what place had just crossed the line, and these officials, not knowing what was going on, were so confused as to why somebody was not crossing the finish line to get placement and money, but instead just sitting there and waiting and waiting. And then finally, and they were like, well, and then the following was something like, that was, you know, 11th or something. He was like, okay. And then he rolled across the line.
In 10th.
In 11.
Oh, in 11. I see.
Yeah.
I think that they should have DQ'd, you know, two people or relegated two people ahead of them and forced them into a point.
Well, I think, Bill, that video could have been taken many, many times around the country.
For sure.
Time and time again, that was happening over and over again. People avoiding getting that 1 point because they wanted to race in Masters World. So, the clarification, what's the new rule?
So they had something, I forget what the rule was before. It was something with, well, whatever. Right now you need, if you have over 100 points.
Right.
And you are classified with at least 100 points in the UCI individual cyclocross rankings published after the first UCI cyclocross World Cup event, is not eligible for Masters World Championship.
Right.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes That makes a lot more sense.
That's, you know, you should.
Or do you think it should be lower?
No, I think
like it
could
should
possibly,
be 10 or something.
I think it could be 50, you know, easily.
Yeah.
And maybe even lower than, you know, it's kind of what is Masters Worlds? I mean, is it I'm going to get in trouble for this. Is it the single speed of your local race where the guys who don't want to race the 1-2 race decide to race single speed instead because they think that that's going to be easier to win? Is that what this is? Or, you know, is this an actual legit competition between the best amateurs of a certain age?
Do you think there's a lot of Masters racers that could get over 100 UCI points if they wanted to?
Well, I guess...
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but there we know of racers on both men and women that are, you know, like Sven, he was 40 when he retired.
Oh, yeah. I know there's people that could do it, men and women. I just don't know how big of a group is that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess it's probably not big, but I mean 100's good. It means you're not going to get just complete ringer in there.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it could still be lower.
So I think at this point we say plus one for UCI.
I agree.
This is
eliminating the people waiting at the finish line. That was stupid, and that makes the race seem
farcical.
Dumb. Yeah. Right. So this takes that away and makes it more legitimate. Yeah. So I agree, David. Bill, final thoughts.
Final thoughts, or let's get to the rule you were going to get to before.
All right.
So that means
artificial
Bill
obstacles.
Says yes. Good rule.
This one's going to create a lot of discussion, the artificial obstacles. So 5.1.023 right now says the course may include no more than 6 artificial obstacles. Obstacles shall mean any part of the course where riders are likely but not required to dismount. The artificial obstacles allowed on a cyclocross course are restricted to planks, as described in 5.1.024, steps, and non-natural sand pits. All other artificial obstacles are not allowed. So they're basically saying planks are fine,
tires,
steps are fine, and you can put in a sand pit, and that's not considered an artificial obstacle.
But you have to use non-natural sand?
No. Yes, you have to use non-natural sand.
Yes, yeah.
Play-Doh.
There you go.
Got to use Play-Doh.
So, I mean, the big thing that came up with this was the one of, I think, a lot of people's favorite obstacles over the course of the year, and I think David even picked it as one of his favorites of the year, was the Toyo tires that we saw all last season, right? That obstacle with the tires that were half buried.
Yep.
Everybody loved that, and that, according to this, that would not be allowed. Correct?
That is correct.
Yes. Yeah. Correct. So Toyo, we got this race in Michigan called Matt Anthony's. Get in touch with me. We'll still allow it. It's not a UCI race. You guys can. I'll be happy to have your sponsorship come down, and we can do a Toyo tire.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point, David. because I've already gotten like comments and tweets and messages about this going, well, at my race, we have, you know, whatever it may be, we jump over plastic crocodiles and into the crocodile pit, and that's not going to be allowed anymore. And no, you can still do that. All of that's great. This is just for UCI races. You know,
in the
same way that you don't have to, you know, sell all your tires and get 33mm tires because that's only for UCI races. This is the same thing. Right. Everything we're going over. Your local race that's not a UCI event, it's you're still good to go.
Yep.
You know, there are rules. USA Cycling has a whole bunch of rules that you have to follow, but they're not necessarily these rules.
Correct. Now, one of the things that I know there was people asking questions about was flyovers.
Yes.
Right? Because you don't see flyovers mentioned. And I think that's, you know, we kind of got into this idea of, well, is a flyover an obstacle? Is it just part of course design that, you know, allows... So, I mean, there's that whole discussion that has to happen and flush out, Bill. And like I think you said, the rule is ambiguous. So you kind of are going to be like, yeah, let's see what happens with it like this, right?
Yeah, and I think the other thing that my whole thing with the flyovers is that if you are going to outlaw flyovers, you have to outlaw tarmac too.
Right.
So you can't have like paved roads anymore
because that's artificial.
Those are artificial surfaces, and that's
right.
But are they barriers?
The rule, yeah, the rule is not artificial surfaces. The rule is artificial obstacles. Something that a professional athlete looks at and says, "I may have to dismount here." And people are gonna say, "Well, mud." I'm like, "Yes, but it starts out as all grass or dirt, and there's actually a rule about that. It has to be, you know, what is it, 90% rideable?" So that's also taken into consideration too. So then, you know, I'm like, okay, so flyovers definitely are not an obstacle. And then people are like, well, what about flyovers that are stairs for half of it? That's that you have to dismount for. And I think that, you know,
steps are in the list of allowed things.
Yeah.
So you could kind of say that, right?
Yep.
So there we
go. And it's also, you know, you can't, we look at, here's the other distinction, and this is coming from all of our U.S. and Canadian, kind of North American cyclocross friends. We look at flyovers as being something exotic.
Yeah.
That race is going to have a flyover. We get to go over a flyover in this race. Did you hear that so-and-so is having a flyover? In Belgium, where they're like creating these courses on 3 acres of some farmer's plot, and they have to fit 20,000 spectators in there and make a 3-kilometer course, a flyover is a necessity. It's just part of the course. There's nothing exotic about it. There's nothing special. Granted, the 3-story ones where you go up one and then you climb up the stores and then you floor another floor and then you go all the way down, those are cool. I mean, everybody's
or the one at
when you cross the highway.
One at Belgian Nationals.
Yeah, and Belgian Nationals. Like, that's obviously, you know, we're gonna take a second look at that. But just
correct.
your run of the mill, we need to get spectators underneath here or the course to go back under so we can make it long enough and not having, you know, that's it's just a course design.
Yeah, it's not right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if it's gonna help promote beer sales, it's legal.
You can't go down steps. That's in the rule too. That's
yes.
Yeah.
One of the other points that was brought up is people were like, hey, this is a sponsor, you know, with the tire thing. This is money into the sport, right?
Yeah, for sure.
This isn't really a good thing. We should allow special obstacles for more money to come into the sport. I mean, and I kind of agree with that. I think the sport needs more money to continue to grow. Any feelings on that, David? Have you thought about that one at all? What do you
think? Yeah, I mean, I've reached out to one of my favorite Belgian sponsors, Solo Cups, for the solo cup obstacles that, you know, by mid-race in the women's race are flooding the course, kind of like a sand pit of plastic solo cups.
Yeah.
Now, I think anything that brings... I mean, why would Toyo Tires come and support our sport?
Yeah.
Now we found a reason, so let's kick them out.
Right.
We're finally finding outside people, outside of Shimano, SRAM, Trek, Specialized, Ridley, whatever. We found people outside the sport to bring money to the sport, so we kicked them out.
Yeah, and they were a sponsor of a series. Say the series.
DeVeVe.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I think, and I agree with you completely, David, but I think one of the other things that I think the UCI is trying to do is we don't want cyclocross to turn into miniature golf either, right? We don't want, like...
Oh, here we go with the windmill.
We don't want, right, we don't want, like, giant windmills that you ride through or, you know what I'm saying. I mean, that obviously I'm exaggerating, but I think that's maybe their fear a little bit.
What about pinwheels?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Right.
Death.
So let's
Can't
get rid
that
of
that unless you're in France.
Yeah. No. I
so
agree.
I think that's a little bit their fear. You know, is that it might get out of
right.
control.
They have created Caddyshack. They don't want Caddyshack 2.
Exactly. Yeah, right. As do none of us. None of us want Caddyshack 2.
All
it's
right.
Like Blues Brothers 2, man.
Next. You know,
moving on.
Yeah, sticking with obstacles, this one. Oh, but just...
before we go on, we do have to. We have to say, where do we stand? Plus, minus. Is this good or bad? Yeah,
I think
bad.
I'm gonna give
more,
this...
We're bad. We're at the bad.
I think it needs more clarification.
Okay.
I'm going to say bad.
We'll give
him
a push on this. Okay.
All right.
I think to a degree, there can be a place for artificial obstacles. I think that... you know, the we didn't even touch on the one that you know, our friends in the Cincinnati area are going to have to deal with, and we actually dealt with it as well in DCCX is logs. You can still have logs in place of planks, but you can only have one set of planks, so that takes away your plank. So you can't, you know, so if you have planks and then you have a log, I think that's an artificial obstacle and that's not going to be allowed. That's, you know, we had it allowed at DCCX and then they, on our, you know, post-race report, they basically said we shouldn't have allowed you to do that. I know that in Harbin Park, didn't they not have planks because they were using the logs, right? Or
yeah, that was Harbin. I mean, they're not going to be UCI
they're
this
not a
year
UCI
but
racing.
Yeah,
but
okay.
But yeah, I know, but I agree with you. I think you're right. Yeah.
So that's part of where I think it just needs to be clarified. I understand not wanting to get too crazy, but then the other side of it is, you know, we talked about the where we came up with this show name. They don't do that in Europe. And it was kind of like what I was talking about the flyovers before, where we see everything as sort of this vaunted ground in Europe and how everything is, you know, just put on a pedestal and it's so great and this is the way to a sophisticated sport, where we all know it's not really. Well, right. this kind of fits in there. I mean, doing crazy stuff in cyclocross races is almost the way things are done. You know, it's the pump track at races. It's yeah. That kind of stuff. So I don't know. Yeah. I have mixed emotions about this. I think that there is some room for some artificial obstacles.
I agree. It can give a race character, you know, if it's done right. But again, you don't want it to be extreme either. So, all right, let's continue with the obstacles. Bill, did you want to read this one?
Yeah, 5.1.025, and then a lot of these rules have BIS after that. Maybe somebody can tell me what that means. I don't know either. What it means, but it's there on several.
I'm
of these
sure
rules.
It's Latin for something.
But this is a. this is a good one, and we saw this pop up last year in cyclocross. We see it a lot in the road racing world, in time trials and that sort of thing. But kudos to the UCI
for
this one.
They have obstacles in time trials?
Yeah. Okay. But this
is called the, it's called the wind.
Wind. more of the I guess the meaning behind these obstacles of cyclocross course must be the same for men and women in an elite race. That came about, I think, as a reaction to it's interesting because I mean we're guessing. It'd be interesting to know if this was actually it. I think we're probably pretty on. You know, the Toyo tires, I'm guessing, was the impetus for that last rule. Niels Albert CX in Baum. Had lower planks for women. And I think that that had to be the impetus for this rule change because it is completely unnecessary. It just looks bad. The women don't want that. I mean, they were like, oh, but this way they can ride them. Well, you know, what we've seen is that women can ride 40 centimeter planks just like men can.
Right.
So it's unnecessary. Everything in the sport as far as the course goes should be equal. I bring up the time trials because it was the kind of thing I think at Worlds where the women really had a watered down course versus what the men had, and they were like, well, we logistically it didn't work, even though they had some like mass start amateur race on the men's court. It was a bad excuse. But basically it's all of these things. We want equality in the sport. This is another place where we don't have to make, you know, exceptions for women over men on the course design.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's where that came from, and I think it's a good thing to just put it out there. Say, I think that kind of died. They tried it in that race and everyone was like, yeah, this was lame. Let's not do it anymore. And it probably would have popped up again at some point. Someone would have, you know, and so to just put it out there, it's like a 1.5 line rule and say, yeah, you can't do that. That's good.
I have to say that it's embarrassing that cycling has to even say this, but I'm glad that they say it. I mean, really, come on.
Right. Just make it clear this way.
I agree. It's a good
there's
rule. It's
all right, cool.
Almost as good as rule 5.1.055.
Which is?
Another rule which they probably shouldn't have to say, but they feel compelled.
Right. So, Bill, you should read this one.
David can read it.
I'll read it, and then Bill can jump right on it and start cheering. Okay. Those involved in the official ceremony are permitted to wear additional clothing, which is nice. And then the new piece... Presenting rider's bike on the award ceremony's podium is not allowed, nor on the scene, nor in front of the scene.
No podium.
So
bikes.
I guess they don't want bikes anywhere around.
Yeah, no, so what they're saying is you can't cheat and put it like in front of, you know, normally for UCI race, you're going to have a stage, can't put it on the stage, you know, off to the side or in front of the stage, that kind of thing, or just in front of the podium itself. I am 100% in favor of this rule. I've ranted about it before. People don't understand. They think I just hate bikes, which no.
It's true.
I hate the tech. Hey, are we going to talk about the new Shiz number that came out?
Which for the Chris King, stuff? Mm-hmm. No. We're not.
No, we're going to talk about the new Shiv stem that is designed just for Mr. Sagan, whatever this guy.
Yeah, tech. No, in a nutshell, what I don't like about a podium bike is that you have three steps in a ideal world for a podium. All three people on that podium earn the right to be there. We want to, you know, David before was talking about sponsors who want to come into the sport. We want to make sure that those sponsors are happy, especially once they get to the award ceremony. If you came in second place and that's an amazing result for you and your sponsors, and let's say for your bike sponsor, you can't use any of these photos because it's got some other guy's bike in the photo, and it's not fair. It's not just, you know, it's his win, but that's, or her win, but that's not the whole podium presentation, or else just have first place show up. Then you can bring your bike, go for it.
Yep.
If you're gonna have
a
podium of one, bring a podium bike. But if you're going to have three or you're going to have five, it's not fair to those other people who are on the podium to then not get the benefit of being able to use that content to share.
I completely agree with you. Here's something I saw. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
I think that not enough people understand that part of the argument, Bill. And people just look at it, well, it's messy, it's sloppy. Some people have bikes, some don't. But you bring that really clear part of it from the bicycling world that says, yeah, bike sponsors are out there, and then you cannot use for your advertising or whatever campaign you want a podium that has someone else's bike on it, a different brand bike on it. So, you know, it's not just a matter of let's keep things neat and clean and you don't want dirty bikes or whatever bikes with their with the crank arms in the wrong position or whatever, right? This is much bigger than that. Go ahead,
so here,
Scotty.
Here's what I saw one time at the and I don't know if all the USGP races did this or not, but
they
at
did.
at the Louisville USGP race, they had off to the side. It was kind of in like the rider staging area. It wasn't on the stage at all. Not on the podium. Not even on the stage.
Was it in the scene?
Right. It was. I mean, technically, I guess it was.
It was scene adjacent for sure.
But it was adjacent, right? And they had
the scene
feedback stands right in it. One, the center one was higher, you know, like the riders put their bikes in those before they walked up the stairs onto the stage,
right?
And you could take that picture if you wanted. If you got back far enough, you could take the picture with everything in it, or you could just take the podium picture. I think that was cool.
And they did that at a race this year. I don't know if it was Worlds or wherever. And yeah, and people were like, oh, Bill's not going to like this. I was like, no, love it. I'm all for it. If you have like a bike podium off to the side, no problem.
Right, exactly.
In mountain biking, they do it and it's set up for it. It is on the scene, but it's off to the side. But what they have done and what is a feature of that UCI, the World Cup, is fastest bike. It's part of the presentation.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine with that. It's not in front of the podium with Aaron. It's off to the side. You get, you know, Simon Burney comes and wheels your bike out and puts it on the little stand in front of the today's fastest bike.
That's the Strava KOM bike?
Yeah, and then all the photographers take a picture of that on its own, and then usually the winner will walk over off the podium over to the fastest bike section and take a picture with their bike and that kind of stuff. And that's great. And I'm all for it. I just don't think it has a place that we're trying to celebrate these people who did great in this race. They don't need their bike there.
Right. Agreed. You need the athlete's podium to be bike free. And then if you want to have some other mix of stuff, that's fine. But the athlete's podium is for the athletes. Right. I agree.
Babies and dogs still fine for it. As I think it might have been Adam Meyerson who said the protocol is that the winner decides if babies or dogs are allowed on the podium.
The winner dictates what. Yeah.
And Scotty D, you can bring your cat.
Cats.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to move? All right. So we're giving this a plus or minus, everybody.
I'm giving it a big plus.
A big plus. No, me too.
So before we go on to the next one, I have to tell you what I have here in front of me, preserved, taken off, slipped off my wrist by almost breaking my thumb at the in January of 2018. I have a wristband that says CX Nats 2018. Which I plan to slip back on my wrist again when we go to Louisville in 2018. Now, go ahead. Tell us what the new rule is, Scotty D.
And why are you doing all that?
Oh, to save $5.
Read the rule. I don't think you get beer with that.
Oh, never mind. Do I get parking?
Yeah,
can I get my car out of Asheville with this?
Hey, we're gonna I foresee, well, we all know how Pan Am's was. I foresee parking becoming an issue again in Louisville.
Oh, it will be.
Oh yeah, it will be. All right. Scott, go for it.
5.2.015. That's the one we're all talking about, right?
I think so.
As set out in Article 1.2.029, National Cyclocross Championships shall be run on the mandatory date fixed annually by the UCI Management Committee. The UCI may grant dispensation for the Southern Hemisphere or in case of force... What is that?
Majeure.
Majeure. Force majeure.
We can ask the attorney about that one.
Mm. Concerning the calculation of the UCI rankings, all national championships run before or after the mandatory date shall be considered as being run on the mandatory date. So basically it's saying UCI is going to pick the day that everybody has nationals, right?
Yeah.
after the U.S. just switched it.
So, you know, if we want to look into our UCI, if we want to pretend we're flies on the wall, you have to assume that the United States of America was the impetus for this rule clarification.
I think that's fair, yes.
And since we have moved our, since we are having 2018 1.2 in December in Louisville, and that is not on the date that the rest of the national championships are on, and it, this really is an interesting point. Is this rule then going, are we going to keep our dispensation, or is this rule saying, hey, United States, I don't think it would be since we had reps there, you don't fall under these exceptions, you gotta kick back to January like the rest of us.
I think we're going to move to the Southern Hemisphere.
Or we're going to move to the Southern Hemisphere. Well, the interesting thing is, you know, Canada's not in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah. Well, so, this has always been.
And they've always been on a different date because of weather. And I think that they are going to say that they come under the force majeure clause of this. The way, you know, you talk about like legal terms, the way you look at these things legally, you know, force majeure is act of God. Okay. So, you know, usually comes into like insurance stuff, like hurricanes, that kind of stuff. Stuff that's just unexpected. So cold winters in Canada, unexpected. You know, that's, I think the, yeah. And again, another thing that we have to keep in mind is the document that we are reading and the document that I am the number one culprit in this, that we love to interpret to an inch of its death is written in French.
Right.
And then translated to English.
Yeah.
So,
well, but my argument for that has always been the UCI announces all the time or says all the time that English is their official language.
Yeah.
So it should be clearest in English then. Or make French your official language. I don't care. But if you're saying English is your official language, then it should be the most clear in English,
I agree.
I would hope.
I'm not going to give them any benefit of doubt. But I think that I say that all to say that I think this force majeure idea needs to be clarified. Because I don't think Canada can hold their national championship in January.
Yeah, that would be rough. No.
It's
but
just,
they do speak French there.
This is true. so I think that just, you know, and there, of course, you know, people in Europe as well, yeah, Norway, Denmark, wherever, you know, I mean, there are other cold places in the world. So it's just a tough one. But the interesting part about this for me is what it does to points.
Mm-hmm.
So that meaning that if when David Pallon enters the men's UCI elite race this year, are you U23? Are you elite yet?
Yeah. When he, baby masters. Mr. David
when he races in the elite race and wins. Now, David, I'm not going to give you the win. I'm going to give you fourth place.
Okay. Because I was going to bring my bike up.
Okay. he gets fourth place. He's going to get good points for that because national championships, the point UCI points for national championships, that's above a C2, maybe. I think it's, I don't know if it's where it sits with a World Cup, but it's around there for points. You get a boatload of points, and that can help
people. I hope it's not more than 100 points.
Yeah, well, for you, I hope it's not, but
because I'll have to wait at the line.
That will help in placement at upcoming World Cup races. So otherwise, there are World Cup races that happen after the December U.S. National Championships before the date that everyone else in the world or Europe has their national UCI mandated date for national championships. They're not going to allow the Americans to get those points, move up farther in the World Cup starting grid based on those points.
Gotcha.
They're instead going to keep those in their little UCI pockets. I'm a blazer pocket. Next to the kerchief, and not apply them until that date happens, and then everybody will receive their points on the same day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I see that being an issue for sure. So, do you think that's why they want to have all the races on the same day? Why couldn't they just give all the points on the same day? Say you can have nationals whenever you want. Everyone's nationals points get applied on this date every year.
I think just for formality and keeping everything sort of.
It's kind of cool when everyone is doing nationals at the same time.
Switzerland, they like to keep everything in very good order, you know, everything aligned.
Right. This is one I think is a perfect example of what we were saying at the beginning, that we got to see how this is going to flush out, right? This one is going to be one of those ones that I think might be a mess for a little while, and then something will get worked out, and it'll all settle into something that we all are at least partially happy with. So
that being said, I can't see the U.S. changing back. I think they're going to find some reason. I just don't. I don't know what force majeure, other than
we have to
Christmas vacation. I don't know. I don't know what the argument is that gets us to change our date. But hey, we get to change it.
We'll see. All right, the next one. Well, so everyone, are we giving that a plus or minus? I don't know if I can give that a plus or a minus.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the points part is interesting. I don't know.
I got to give it a minus unless you can clarify it.
Yeah, better. I think the language definitely needs clarification.
Yeah. All right, clothing, Bill. Yeah. Tell us about clothing. This is 5.3.010.
Whoa, I don't know. Not on my list.
We were going to go to number of riders per men and women's elite national teams.
What's the clothing one? I missed that. Am I going to have to add this to my article?
So read it. It's 5.3.010. The national team outfit is mandatory during the men U23 and men junior UCI cyclocross World Cup races, with the exception of national, continental, and world champions who must wear their champion jersey in accordance with the priorities listed in Article 1.3.071. For elite men and women UCI Cyclocross World Cup races, the National Federation may impose to wear the national outfit if the rider does not belong to a UCI registered team. The national team outfit used during the UCI Cyclocross World Cup races will respect the provisions of Article 1.3.056 and 1.3.057. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
I need to add this in there because I knew about this rule. Was this on the same date this got changed?
This is, article introduced 26.6.18.
All right, because this came up in the, you know where it is? I have this in the, this came up on that communique that they came out with.
Right, yes, I do remember that, yep.
Yeah, and I think the main point here is if you are not a UCI certified team, meaning you have like at least three members and men and women on your team and pay whatever they need to be paid. The interesting point is that you're not allowed to have sponsors on your kit if you are in a leader's jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So someone like Katie Compton,
mm-hmm.
if she is leading the World Cup, is going to have a generic World Cup kit, I believe.
Hmm. Does it say that here?
That's what they were talking about in that communication. Maybe this is, so what's the, what's, since we're not, as I am so ill-prepared here.
The main thing is U23 men and junior men have to wear a national team kit, right?
Okay.
They can't wear, in a World Cup, right? They can't wear anything else unless you're world champion, continental champion, or national champion.
Gotcha.
And then the elite men and elite women, if you don't belong to a UCI registered team, then your federation may impose you wearing the national kit.
We see that in mountain biking.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. No, like Chloe Woodruff, who's on a team,
but is
supported by USA Cycling and wears USA Cycling kit in World Cup races.
Right. Exactly. I think that's exactly what this one is.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You know,
so
we actually saw that with Ellen Noble as well early in this evening. And that was, for mountain biking, it was something that confused people because she had to race her first couple races in the USA Cycling kit. And the confusion was it got around that the reason she was doing that was because USA Cycling was paying her way, supporting her to race in that race. That's actually not what the case was. Trek was fully supporting her.
Right.
Still part of the Trek team is that she didn't have enough points. So there's a point threshold as well. In mountain biking, not sure if that's the case in cyclocross, that you need X amount of points before you are allowed to wear the trade kit.
Okay.
So once Ellen got past that threshold, then since then she's been in a Trek kit.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So
what were you going to say, David?
I was going to say, how many UCI registered teams are there in cyclocross? Probably Cannondale, right?
Cannondale's not.
In the U.S., you mean?
Cannondale's
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
Cannondale is not.
Cannondale's
yeah,
not.
Not.
So nope. Probably nobody then.
No. A friend of the show and second favorite Canadian Michael Vandenham's team is.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's Louis Garneau?
Yep. No. Easton. Dylan. I'm sorry. What's the other half of that team?
I can't remember. I know you just told me the other day.
Yeah. So they are. Aspire was.
Right. Aspire was. Yep.
Was.
Yep.
Yeah, other than that, I'm not sure that Trek will be. Evie and Ellen, their team will be.
Yep. So there's not a lot, we're saying.
No.
Don't expect to see a lot of kit out there.
But then the all the European teams are.
Yeah. So for Americans racing, they will be racing in their national kit.
For the U23s, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can still, I mean, but that's in the elites, you can still wear your team kit.
So here's, if we continue on the rule, there's more that goes out. So under, if you keep scrolling down the rules, 5.3.023
right.
Is there's a continuation. And
the leader's
says,
skin suit.
Yeah. For all categories except men, junior men, participating in races of the UCI Cyclocross World Cup, the leaders of the overall UCI World Cup ranking are allowed to add the advertising of their team on the leader's equipment as per Article 1.3.055, only if all of the following conditions are fulfilled. And this is the new part. One, if they are members of a UCI-recognized team as defined in Article 5.1.001, two, if the men elite, women under 23 categories, excluding the men junior. What? That doesn't make any sense. It says, okay, for the men elite, I guess it's saying you have to be an elite man, an elite woman, U23 woman. Okay? Not counting junior men. Or if you're a U23 man under the authorization of the Riders National Federation.
David.
I don't know why that is separate.
David.
Yes, sir.
This is why I didn't include it in the article.
All right. Okay. Because right, also, is there, and I'm nitpicking here, I understand, but is there a difference between a UCI registered team and a UCI recognized team?
Good question. I don't know.
Because, you know, we have the lawyer on board here. The same rules should use the same words for... If they mean the same thing, if you use different words, do they mean different things?
Here's how I can answer that.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Michael Vandenham and Dylan Posser's team is Garneau Easton, presented by Transitions Life Care. That's
right.
The important
Thanks.
Information
that,
to
that's
get
it.
Out there.
So I was right about Garneau, at least.
You were, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody else knew you were correct.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Is he our favorite Canadian or our second favorite Canadian?
Second.
After who?
Maglia Rochette. No.
No.
The Texan Canadian.
Tyler.
Tyler Cloutier.
Cloutier.
TCCX.
All right. Well, finishing off clothing stuff, 5.5.016, although the minor sponsors of men and women's outfits can be different, in this case, two designs must be submitted, one for men, one for women. So it's saying you can have different men's and women's kits, but you have to submit both, and both have to be approved, right? Which is good, right?
Yep.
That's fine. That's fair. And what else did you guys have written down? That's all I've got in the list.
There was a change, actually the site, Cyclocross 24 on, Twitter, saw the article I posted and then added that I had left this part out that came, up in chapter 9. So not chapter 5, not the cyclocross regulations, but chapter 9. And it is, 9.2.043, another equality change, maximum number of riders per men, and then the added language, and women, elite national team shall be determined by the final ranking by nation of the UCI cyclocross ranking for the preceding season. What this means is in the past for men and now for women, if you are a top five team, you can have a squad of 9 riders and then 6 can start. And then for all other nations, you can have 8 riders with 5 to start. Amanda Nauman pointed out that that doesn't include the European or Pan Am champ. So if you are a top 5 nation and also have the Pan Am or Euro champ or Oceanic champ on your squad, then you can have 7 starters.
Gotcha.
10 riders, 7 starters, or 9 riders, 7 starters?
I think still 9. I think 9 still, but you get that extra starter.
Okay. So, I hate to pick on you, UCI. Call me next time. Because instead of adding words, we can take away words. And we can say the maximum number of riders per elite national team.
Yes.
Is. Yeah.
Yep.
But then
Shelby.
Yeah.
Doesn't so have to be per man and preferred, women.
Well, okay. So they can have the added red language and women this year, and then they can just do a big strikeout for next year.
I thought I like a red strikeout.
Red strikeout. And then everybody will know that the changes have been made. And again, that's for the world championships. The last item that sort of came out the same time, and this was in a newsletter to the federations that they get, that the UCI sort of put in this little nugget that wasn't known until now, that the World Cup is going to expand from 9 races, or they're hoping to expand it from 9 races to 12.
Yeah.
Does that have a year on it, what year they want to do that?
They were sending this out to the federations basically with a plea of, hey, if you want to be a World Cup, call me. Pay us. So, you know, anybody out there listening, you want to have a World Cup race in your backyard, open up that checkbook and contact the UCI.
So what would be the implications to that? We were talking about this a little bit.
Of increasing the number by 30%?
Well, there's a couple things going on here. David and I, not David, I'm sorry, God, not David at all. Scott and I, being the optimists,
oh, I can't wait to talk to you after your drive.
we were looking at this, and it's actually in response to what somebody asked on Twitter, and they were like, well, if there are 12 and more of them than are in Europe, then isn't that less incentive for someone to come to the U.S. or North America for the Jingle Cross and Trek? That is, it's less of a penalty.
You can still miss the 2 in the U.S. and win the overall,
right,
without too much penalty. Right.
My counter to that is, hey, but if we are able to get a 3rd in North or even South America, that makes the trip much more appealing. And it's you know, I actually asked Matthew Vanderpool in my conversation with him, what would it take for him to be, you know, happier with coming to the U.S. And that was basically it. He's like, I just need more time in the U.S. to make it a worthwhile trip. You know, let's have a month. Let's have, you know, a Dave Ave or Super Prestige or even another World Cup. And then it makes that, you know, economically and training, everything else, you know, for those guys to uproot, it makes it much more worthwhile for them.
Right.
So that's that would be the thing about getting one here. The other side of this, kind of the more is nefarious the right word? Maybe, is that this is a for-profit series run by the World Federation for Cyclocross that has set rules for all other series saying you can't have more than 8 races in your series. And now
but we can have 12.
And they have a series of their own, the Federation, that's competing with that, or the governing body that used to be 9, and now they're even expanding, which puts pressure on these other races and takes away dates and sort of they're setting themselves up into a more of a power position with this. So in that case, if you're looking at the kind of the economics and politics of it, it's not the most positive thing. It really looks like or can be interpreted as a power grab by the UCI.
Because remember, you cannot have a C1 on a World Cup day, right?
Right.
So that's 3 more days off the calendar that you cannot have a C1 race. That can be important, right?
David, thoughts?
It's funny that as much as we would like to see things grow and more races, there's always that kind of underbelly of it that those with power are going to grab for more. And, I'd love to say, yay, UCI, let's make women equal. Well, that's not make women equal. They are equal. Let's acknowledge that fact. Right?
Let me see. Right. Time stamp at 1:17. We're going to hit that. Put it in the trailer.
No, it's just...
David Palin from Bike Shop CX says, let's make women equal.
And you're gonna like pull
he throws
out.
Bike Shop CX in there.
I love the best part is he's not gonna edit out the whole statement. He's just gonna edit out the part where, no, that was a stupid statement I just made. Women are equal. Let's just acknowledge that. We'll pull that right out. Build that wall. Build that wall. Yeah. So it's just a phrase used for some other people, they never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity, right? I mean, it's just like, I don't understand why you just don't get it right. Some things seem pretty straightforward, and now you got to come out with this money grab or power grab, which is a money grab.
Right. And I even going back to what you were saying before, in that we want more races, I don't know. I think that is also, we could do, we're starting to wrap up here, but we could do a whole nother show on, do we want more races?
It's a great point. Yes, we want more local races. We want this. We want that. But you're right. Maybe the market is saturated at this point, and do we need more races at that level? We need more races, but perhaps not more pro-level races.
Yeah, or even culling of the ones that are out. Yeah, that's a whole nother show. Hey, Scott.
So tune in next week.
anything else we?
Well, I think what are we? We're only a few weeks from the season here.
Yeah.
So, are we gonna? Do we want people to send in questions? Because we're gonna probably be starting regular shows fairly in a few weeks, right, Bill?
Yes, we are.
Do we want to throw a teaser for people to send in some the phone calls, or is that set up still?
I need people to send in questions, because at the end of the last episode, I kind of went through my website and internet woes and how I had lost access to all of my domain emails. And I am happy to report they're all back now. But I need people to test them out with questions to make sure that feedback@cxairs.com is really working. Because so far I'm not sure, because I haven't gotten any emails in there. So shoot us your questions, comments, concerns.
We'll be probably doing a show after the race in Virginia that you just talked about, Bill.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Go Cross.
Yeah, that thing.
Go Cross. I knew it was a 2-letter word. Go Cross, and then we'll continue that on into the World Cups, and stuff will be going crazy. So send in questions. Yeah, that'll be awesome. Bill.
Yes.
If people want to get in touch with you, where's the best way to do it?
They can send me an email if they want through that feedback@cxhairs.com or anything else. They can also call our hotline. That's 405-CX-HAIRS.
Nice.
You can follow me on Instagram @CXHairs. And hey, here's what I want everybody to do. Rebookmark CXHairs.com. We're up. We're running. Starting to get content up there. If you want to see a review of all of the rules that we went over on this show, it's up there. I'm working with several different folks to bring you content throughout the year that we haven't really had on the site before, including some tech content.
Yeah, you might have some tech content by some brilliant writers. Yeah.
Little guy Matt?
I haven't approached them yet. Also, before we get to other people, make sure, yeah, so gocrossrace.com. Go check that out on the internet and register. Women, you are all racing for free, but you got to register to do it. And then also go to wideanglepodium.com and pick up some of that coffee by Grimper Brothers.
Yes. All right, David.
Yes, sir.
Your turn.
Hey, Scotty D, what are you working on? No, sorry. Get at me at on the Instagram, and I am on Twitter. Don't go there as much as I used to for many reasons. But Instagram, tag Mr. David Palin, tag at Bike Shop CX, sorry, and tag Grimpier Brothers. Make sure you follow Grimpier Brothers as well. And get that hashtag, the full Schleck. Get yourself entered into the contest for Grimpy Brothers, the full Schleck coffee.
Nice. All right, and you can get a hold of me, Scott Diedenbach. I am at Bike Shop CX on Twitter and at Bike Shop CX on Instagram. And I think that's going to wrap it up, gents. Thanks again. And I'm looking forward to getting this thing rolling. What's that, Bill?
I got one postscript, two postscripts. Yeah. Yeah. One. We know we didn't talk about Wout and his contract stuff. You can go to cxhairs.com, read about what's going on with him, and probably by the next time we talk to you, he may know where he's going next year. Two, I know I missed the opportunity to ask Matthew Vanderpool if he knew who Peter Sagan was. I know it was a question I should have asked. It would have been great. He would have understood, but maybe he would have. Who knows? It could have been the funniest thing ever. You can stop telling me I should have asked him that on Twitter. I know. I dropped the ball. I'm sorry, cyclocross friends. Next time.
But so disappointed in you, Bill.
Did we mention that Bill Shiken had an interview with Matthew Vanderpool on CX Hairs Radio, Crosshairs Radio? Make sure you get out there and listen to it. I know you don't know.
I don't know who
Matthew
that
Vanderpool
guy
is.
No,
I know. I know you and Peter Sagan. Neither of you know.
I know. I don't know who Peter Sagan is.
Yeah, he used to race cross.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I told you we wouldn't be able to get an hour, Bill.